Last week on the show, we visited the home of a family in Sydney whose new house allows the whole family to live together apart again. Now, that was an extended family, but would you go in with a group of friends? With limited space in our cities and expensive land prices, for some, co-housing can be a good option. It's how you do it that's the big question. And this isn't flatting or share housing, it's new ways of living together. Joining me is a member of a London-based collective who worked very hard over the past 5 years to build a shared space, private homes with communal areas, like a laundry, an office, maybe even a pet dog, maybe not. Her name is Cressida Hubbard, and the new home is in Hackney. It's called Copper Lane. Also joining me is architect Ken Rorison, who has worked with the collective from the firm Henley Hale Brown Rorison. Welcome to By Design.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
So Cressida, to begin, where exactly is this new home? It must be exciting because I know it's just opened, hasn't it?
It's pretty exciting. We've just moved in. It's all very new. It's in a part of London called Newington Green, so a little bit north of the City of London, in between Islington and Hackney.
Okay, and what's this area like? Can I get a sense of it? Maybe, Ken, tell me a bit about this area, if we haven't been to Hackney or this part of London before.
Sure, it's very residential. I guess you would say now it's pretty gentrified. It's a very pleasant area. It's built around a couple of large parks. It's that sort of cross between being urban and being suburban, really. I confess to living there myself. So it's a fairly easy 15-20 minute cycle into the city.
That's the site where this new way of living, I suppose, is located. And I'd love to go back a bit, Cressida. Take me back to what is this project? What's going on here?
We decided to buy a plot of land that was big enough for six houses, and we wanted to do it collectively so that it wasn't, particularly in London, you end up living a very kind of, you can live a very solitary life where you don't know your neighbours, and there can be a real lack of community. And we wanted to make something where we knew our neighbours and we were doing things together rather than alone.
And what is it that you wanted to do? Ken, when were you brought in on the picture? Tell me a bit about what that process was like for you at the start.
We were obviously brought in very, very early. There was a competitive interview situation where I think maybe perhaps 10 architects were interviewed, I think. So we were there right at the very start. And I think we have an interest really in, I suppose, in the social structures of groups, whether we're working with residential or whether we're working with workplace. It is the social structures that really, for us, really drive the architecture. And I think we were fascinated by the psychology of the group and how that idea of communality would actually manifest itself in architecture.
And what were the initial ideas that they wanted you to support?
Whilst there was a lot of talk about communality, there was also talk about privacy. There was always that balance between the two, that what we weren't doing here was some, I don't know, social engineering project where we were forcing everyone to be communal. But I think it was also about neighbourliness. Here we were, you know, we were about to build a cluster of six houses, essentially at the back of a lot of people's gardens. And you know, at a site that had been empty for years, and people of course get used to the fact it's lovely and overgrown and no one's overlooking them. So I think there was a neighbourliness to it, and I think we were trying to respond to that as much as responding to the group.
Cressida, could you talk me through a bit about how yourself and your group of friends brought the architects into the discussion, this idea of communality, of privacy as well, that was very important to you? What were the key things that you needed in this project?
I think we all spent quite a bit of time thinking about what we liked about other places that we'd lived or other ways we'd seen of living. And I can remember talking with Ken about the importance of sort of having the architecture design set for chance encounters. So our houses are all grouped around a communal courtyard where we all walk across it to get to our front doors. And the idea that you can leave your front door open if you want somebody, if you're happy for people to drop in and visit, or you keep it shut if you're busy at all. It's a way of sort of having the opportunity for communality, but also being able to signify if you want privacy.
On By Design, my guests are Cressida Hubbard, who is a member of the collective of a new co-housing project that is in Hackney in London, which has, well, they've only just moved in, which is pretty extraordinary. And also Ken Rorison, who is with the firm Henley, Hale, Brown and Rorison, who were charged with the task of building this co-housing project, which is the first, Ken, I believe, to be completed in London. Is that right?
We understand that to be the case. Yeah, I think there are a number probably in the planning stages, but I think this is the first one to be completed, yes. In London, there's some outside of London that have been completed.
And can you talk me through, Ken, some of the, I suppose, working with the people in the collective who are not designers and the challenges for you of interpreting their multiple needs, obviously of not just one family, one home, but many people within one space?
It's quite a tricky process. I think mediating between everyone, because ultimately what we weren't necessarily doing was building everyone's individual dream house. You know, the whole, in a way, was always bigger than the sum of the parts. So there was a lot of mediation in that respect.
Maybe you could talk me through it at this point. I'd love to know how the circulation works, how the layout works.
The site is landlocked, so it's actually accessed through a very long, narrow alley. Sounds slightly more foreboding than it actually is, because it's between gardens. And you get into what feels like a clearing because it's surrounded by back gardens. The houses themselves range between three stories and two stories. There's a couple of smaller houses were needed in the brief, and they're placed at the points that I guess are most contentious to the neighbours. So the points that are closest to the boundary are lower. And the building itself is dropped 1.2 metres into the ground. So again, that's to really lessen the impact on the neighbours. All the houses are attached, and they're attached to the communal facilities. And in clustering them together, we've managed to increase, or at least maximise, the amount of external space around the outside, which is always, there's an interest in the group for growing and gardening, and that allows the transition between the back gardens of the neighbours as well. So we've tried to maximise the external land. There are no private gardens in the estate.
So you've talked me through a bit of how the whole site works. Cressida, what about your private space? How do you negotiate your private space now that you're living there, which must be exciting after all this preparation, I must say?
It certainly is.
And the public space, the stuff that you do share?
Because really recently moved in, we're still discovering how we're going to use the communal space, I think. At the moment, to be honest, the communal hall is full of things we can't yet fit in our houses. But I'm really enjoying the courtyard, which is the roof of the communal hall where our front doors come off. And that's the door that I use because my lower ground floor is where my kids' bedrooms and spaces. So I come in over the sort of communal courtyard space, and it's really nice to see other people's front doors open, people hanging about. You can, you know, my kids drop in to the neighbours to go and watch TV with them, and really nice sense of other people around, and you're conscious of who's there and who isn't. And
what else do you share? The laundry is one of the things that you share. What else is there?
There's a small workshop space where we're all going to put our tools, so we don't have, you know, six saws and step ladders, whatever.
I think that's a great idea. Every street needs that.
Yep, definitely. There's a small shared shower room and bathroom as well off the hall. Then there's the quite sizable hall, which has so far been used for one of the kids' birthday parties.
Can you sell up and move? I know you've just moved in, but what happens if you get absolutely irritated with your neighbour or you have a fight or something like that, and you can shut the door, but really they're always there?
We have 999-year leases on our individual houses, so we do own them and we each own a share of the freehold. It's perfectly possible to sell. Personally speaking, I intend to be carried out feet first, I think.
Okay, so you can sell up and move if you choose to. Ken, a bit more from your perspective about the benefits of this new way of thinking about living.
Potentially it's a more efficient use of land because you can make the houses smaller if you share facilities. So yeah, there's that aspect to it. But I think socially, it means that, you know, as you're, you know, we're all getting older, you know, everyone gets older. It means that there is potentially a stronger support structure there. You know, there's a lot of talk, you know, and there's terms lifetime homes, you know, which is about adapting a home to allow you to grow old in it. But actually, this is a greater thing. You know, this is actually a whole structure. It's a whole way of living that allows that to happen, that hopefully does set up that support structure that means that people don't have to feel that they have to move on or move elsewhere.
It's a way of maintaining living in place, different ways of living for the future, certainly. Cressida, if you had $1 squillion, would you do this again? Or would you choose your own home, big old home with 3 bedrooms and a nice yard for your kids and not live with anybody else?
No, I think I'd do it again. Had I known it was going to take 5 years at the beginning, I might not have. But I'm glad that I did. It was something that I'd always wanted, was a new home designed for me by an architect, which I never thought was even the remotest possibility. So it's good from all sorts of points of view.
Absolutely. Well, look, thank you so much for both of you joining me here on By Design. And Cressida, I look forward to the dinner invitation for not only me, but everybody in Australia.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for your time. Thanks for joining me on the program.
Thank you very much.
Cressida Hubbard there, who is a member of the Collective in London's Hackney. They've just moved into their new home very recently. Also joining her is architect Ken Rorison from Henley, Hale, Brown and Rorison. You can find some more information on our website, and we'd love to know what you think about this idea, buying a plot of land with a group of friends, reinventing the neighbourhood. Is it a good solution for you or not? And what are your thoughts on sharing the burden of home ownership and even changing the way that we live in the process? Get in touch with us on our website or say hello on our Facebook page as well.